Good afternoon. All the rushing around, I hope we all get enough sleep this weekend. Please, not for the next hour and a half. Have you ever noticed that when we look at something in life superficially, we can miss the very truth we're hoping to find? Even in the Bible, people can be looking directly at the truth and still miss it. We all too often don't look for the real meaning behind the words, and so we find ourselves looking away from the truth instead of at it, and then we miss the deeper meaning. This being the Passover, we look quite rightly at the final sufferings of Jesus. But unfortunately, we all too often stop right there and fail to see the rest of the story. And therefore, we don't see the fullness of Jesus as our Passover lamb. So where does God want us looking? On its simplest level, what is the focus of the Passover? Very simply to review, Jesus gave us the key twice over in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 24 and 25. When eating the broken bread at the Passover meal and taking the wine, Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." So at its most basic level, then, the Passover is a memorial. Its intent is to focus our attention on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's Hebrews 12, verse 2. Or as the NIV renders the verse, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." So we don't do this to focus on us. We do it to focus on Him. We're His workmanship, not our own. And at this time of year, more than any other, our attention needs to be on Him personally. However, all too often, driven by the immensity of His sacrifice at the Passover for our sakes, the torturous death He suffered, we often don't notice everything else that went into that sacrifice. Remember that the Passover lamb had to be a perfect sacrifice, without blemish. So it had to be cultivated and protected from birth. It couldn't have a flaw and still fulfill its purpose, and so it was with Jesus. By concentrating on the final 12 hours or so of His human life, we often forget to notice that every moment of that life was spent for our sakes. Because He had to be that perfect, flawless sacrifice. He had to live a perfect life, a life without sin. He not only gave His life for us, He lived it for us as well. Every moment of His life, then, was part of the ultimate Passover sacrifice. And while the last several hours were a physical torture, every moment He lived was a continual sacrifice to God for our sakes and great suffering. Isaiah 53, verses 3 and 4, underlines that point. It says, "He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, yet it was our weaknesses He carried. It was our sorrows that weighed Him down." That chapter shows not only how much the Messiah would suffer at the close of His human life, but how throughout His life He would be rejected and despised, that He would suffer every day, not just at the end of it. From childhood on, this was the price that Jesus paid in being our sacrifice for sin. Whether He was put down for being illegitimate, as many viewed Him, or simply not fitting in, not being of the world, not conforming to the standards around Him, He lived a life more alone than we can imagine. Have any of us not felt alone in a crowd at some point in our lives? Have we felt that we don't fit in? Even here at services, there are times when we'll come and seem to connect with no one and walk away at the end of the day wondering why. We all have moments like that. Well, we're not alone. Jesus knows exactly what that was like. He lived it, and He lived it far more than we ever have. But Jesus was truly alone. On a purely human level, He was truly alone. There wasn't a single human being who could understand Him or give Him a shoulder to cry on. No matter how close He was to certain people, like John, there was no physical being to truly lean on who could commiserate with Him. No wonder he had to launch off into the wilderness uncounted times to commune with his Father, which the scriptures tell us was done quite often with tears and enormous cries for help. His relationship with his Father was his only true solace, his only strength. And only by maintaining that vital relationship was he able to survive this life and its endless struggles. And in that, he set the pace for us. Hebrews 5, verses 7 to 9 says, "Who in the days of his flesh offered up both prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, yet he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him." And this was somebody with the fullness of God's Spirit. But it had to be so. Each day he lived, he had to yield himself to his Father completely or fail. And failure was unthinkable. Have you ever tried, even for a day or week, to literally do no wrong? Disappointing, isn't it? At least that highlights why we so desperately needed a Savior. We can never of ourselves be somehow good or perfect enough. While we don't have the fullness of God's Spirit as did Jesus, just try to imagine within ourselves, try to imagine the self-discipline, the godly submission it would take moment by moment to yield every part of your life to God and to hold nothing back, to never compromise with the world, to never slip. Because of the freedom Christ's sacrifice gives us, we can make those honest human mistakes. And I don't mean simple mistakes, I mean sin. And we can always turn to God for forgiveness, always be received by him. But Jesus undertook the task of living that perfect life, becoming that perfect sacrifice, and there was no leeway. Just try to imagine the lonely nights, the lonely days, the titanic struggle that was waged inside him all the days of his life, never letting down, and no time off for good behavior. Realize, too, that Jesus and the Father had set this up from time immemorial. They could have decided that forgiveness for sin would simply be by divine decree. They could have chosen any alternative, but they didn't. They determined it would be only by blood sacrifice after living a perfect human life, all in anticipation of Jesus himself giving that life for us. Why? Well, if nothing else, it would be for all time, for eternity. An absolute declaration of the love of God for his special creation, for his sons and daughters. He took the hard way, not the easy way, for a dozen reasons, of course, including setting us an example to follow. He set the example of a true living sacrifice. Therefore, he says to us in Romans 12, verse 1, to present ourselves as well as living sacrifices. In other words, follow his example. Paul wrote further in Hebrews 12, verse 4, to emphasize the obvious. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. That ongoing struggle ended in the supreme sacrifice, God dying for man. But that was only after a continuous, lifelong battle, always looking to the Father and never giving in. Jesus never let himself forget what the whole purpose of it was and why such a hard life was necessary. He never forgot that he was doing it for all of us. Beyond everything else, it declares for all to see just how willing he was to guarantee our futures, to show how much he wants us sharing eternity with him. Enough to not only empty himself of his divinity and live a perfect life, to present a perfect sacrifice, but also, if we realize it, to pay a price himself for having subjected us to this life, for having set this process in motion. The scriptures say it was fitting that he himself would be that sacrifice. Romans 8, verses 20 and 21. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Therefore, in Hebrews 2, verse 10, in bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting or proper that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. But there's one last part to all this, something that should give us immense comfort and assurance no matter how hard our struggle may be. Jesus coming into this life, sharing our humanity with us, learned about us by what he suffered. He shared in all our sufferings. He tasted of everything that torments us, all our weaknesses, all of our needs, our helplessness, and finally, at the end of his human life, what it means to be victimized, to be innocent and suffer for it. But it goes beyond that too. Because as he shared in our suffering, so too do we share in his suffering. Every time we choose God's way over our own, every time we choose what's right instead of what's convenient and easy, we make the same choices Jesus had to make. And like our divine brother, we too learn by what we suffer. Our Father perfects us as he perfected our elder brother. 1 Peter 4, verses 12 to 14 says, Beloved, don't be amazed and bewildered at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test your quality, as though something strange were befalling you. But insofar as you're sharing Christ's sufferings, rejoice so that when his glory is revealed, you'll also rejoice in triumph. If you're insulted and suffer abuse because you bear the name of Christ, then you're blessed or envied with joy and satisfaction in God's favor, because the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of God, is resting on you. If you want a glimpse of how your Savior suffered for your sake, what type of life he lived for you, go look in a mirror. The struggles that you're experiencing, going the way of God or trying to, is a similar experience to what Jesus went through during his lifetime. And like him, the key to all that learning is only found in loving submission to the Father who loves us and assures our futures. We are united with Jesus far more than we know. This day, which begins the march of the year's holy days, starts off by helping us come to know our Savior, by showing us how through him we're united with God, our Father, how through him we find the truth, find the purpose of life, find the key to love, and everything we need to reach the goal God has set for us. Our brother, as a living sacrifice, showed us the way.